Welcome to the first episode under the new name, the Earnest Christian Football Podcast. I'm host Earnest EJ Christian. The only difference here is the name change. That's it. Going to continue doing the show as you've always done it. First off, I want to check in and let you guys know we are still doing the show. We're going to continue doing the show. I initially was going to stop doing the show. And also, in addition to this show, the other podcast I do, the basketball podcast, a coverage of a basketball podcast, which I launched in November as well along this show. And I initially was going to stop both those shows and just kind of combine them into one again. But through a lot of people saying, you know, just continue doing the show as is. And so instead of panicking and condensing the shows, I want to continue doing as is. So, and right now, the schedule right now with football, it isn't really one show a week is enough right now. As we're in the off season, obviously we have free agency coming up next couple of weeks and the draft coming up. So, the schedule shouldn't be a big problem right now for me. So, we're going to continue doing the show as is. But I did want to kind of make a change in the titles because you know, there's a lot of the shows that we have right now. I have four podcasts. I have the Earnest Speaking Unfiltered podcast. The Earnest Speaking Sessions podcast, and then you have, you know, the Conversation About Basketball podcast. I wanted to kind of steer away from the Earnest Speaking names always because there's so many shows we have that have the same exact title to begin with. I kind of want to separate a little bit, so I decided to change the name of this podcast. If we continue this podcast, we'll put under a different name. So take away the Earnest Speaking part of the name. Enter Earnest Christian Football Podcast, and there you have it. So this is now called Earnest Christian Podcast. Again, in terms of formats, nothing going to change at all. We're going to continue doing the same thing we do every time. During the season, we'll have obviously 3 to 4 to 5 shows a week. Off-season, obviously, 1, maybe 2, depending on the situation. So we'll have great guests and, of course, our own people who are our own, you know, people in our ecosystem that come on a show from time to time, of course, continue to come on the show. So anyway, today's guest is a longtime friend of all the podcasts. He actually also is a former co-host of my old radio show from years back. That's my friend G.W. Gross of NGSCSports.com. We talk about free agency, pure and simple. Basically, we discuss all the storylines going on in free agency. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of things to talk about, quarterback, carousel, Kirk Cousins' future, Odell Beckham must get paid, the Pats dynasty, a lot of things to talk about in March in the NFL. The NFL never stops, really. It never really stops. So here it is, G.W. Gross, of course, my good old friend, writer, podcaster, although he gets that a little bit. He's actually steering away from podcasting these days and focused on the writing. And we discuss basically the NFL at large and what's going on right now in the league. All right, joining us today, of course, it's a long time. First time on this podcast, though, but long time we've had a conversation about anything related to football is our good friend G.W. Gross on Twitter at G-E-E-S-T-E-E-L-I-O, G-Stelio, of NGSCSports.com, also a podcaster. Although, I must admit, I don't think you're doing any podcasting these days, really, other than your... the last time you did podcast was probably your betting show, you know, over during the season. That's about it.
Yeah, and I think me and Nick did a podcast before my wedding, and yeah, that was like
that. I remember that, and that's it. So why'd you stop podcasting, man? What happened? No time?
Got busy, man.
Yeah, you got married.
I mean, you know what it is, Duke? You know what it is? Well, me and Nick just really got bored with podcasting together, you know. But then, like, the betting podcast, I really don't know about football. I don't know about anything else. Well, you know, I couldn't really talk about betting basketball or betting baseball. And plus, who wants to hear about betting baseball? That's got to be the most boring topic in the world. So, you know, I'm just chilling right now, just doing a lot more writing than podcasting.
I got to admit, though, and I love gambling, too. I love betting and whatnot. And I love basketball, obviously. But I find betting basketball boring. I find football being the only sport worth a damn to bet, honestly.
Yeah, basketball is awful because it just comes down to the last 2 minutes of the game, and then it's just you're waiting on who's going to shoot free throws. It's really boring. You know, in college basketball, the only way it's fun is when you have like a 35-point spread and you take the favorite. That's the only way it's fun, you know, like to see if they cover that ridiculous spread.
Right,
you know,
right.
But, yeah, football is the only one, man. And if football is the only one where you tell yourself there's a logic to it, and there's not.
Well, you just got married about almost 2 months ago. You actually did it. Again, I apologize for being able to meet the wedding. A lot of stuff came up here home. But how is married life so far?
You know, it's funny. Everybody asks you that after you're done with the vows, like she turns into a witch on you. But no, I mean she turned into a witch as soon as we moved in together. So I'm kind of used to it. You know. I've been living with her for a year and a half. We've been married for a month and change. So yeah, everything's cool. You know, like whatever. There's no complaints. You know, I mean she probably has a whole list of complaints. If you interviewed her,
of course she does. It's you. I mean, it's you.
Talk, yeah. I'm sure she has a lot more to
You know, one day I'm gonna want to do a podcast with you two alone and just let her rail on you one day.
You know what's funny? Me and her did a podcast together once. I forgot what the podcast. Like, I did a million podcasts. I forgot the title of it.
Yeah.
And me and her were drinking one time, and we decided to do a podcast. And it was actually hilarious because she had no idea what the hell I was talking about in sports, and she was just chiming in. And it was great, but you know that was her one and only appearance ever.
I might have heard that one though, but she wasn't really like central. She just came on and just started talking.
Yeah, she wasn't even supposed to be on the podcast. She just kind of grabbed the mic and just went on. So I was like, thanks, yeah. Which pretty much happened. That was pretty much a prelude to the rest of my life.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's not included in something. She just gonna throw herself into it.
Well, you know the old saying. I've been married almost 7 years. You know, happy wife, happy life. You know, you follow those four words, you'd be okay.
Man, whatever.
No kids?
Not any time. I mean, she still has to take care of me and feed me and clothe me, so we're not going to look at the kids anytime soon.
You act like you're young, though. You ain't that young, bro. You ain't that young.
I'm not. But mentally, let's be honest, I'm like 12 years old mentally, so, you know.
12? That old? That old?
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe like 7.
Jesus, okay. All right, so... You're a Bears fan. First off, former Bear, Matt Forte, retired yesterday. And, of course, I left you a tag on Twitter when that announcement came out because you've had a pretty wretched history of Matt Forte. You're not a big fan of Matt Forte. And you know he hasn't been a Bear in 2 years. You still don't like Matt Forte. So I guess this kind of get the cat out of the bag. How do you feel about Matt Forte retiring from getting out of your life?
I'm just hoping I never have to see his name ever come up on my timeline again. You know, and especially now people say, oh, Hall of Fame, please.
Really?
Please just stop it. Probably the most overrated player of all time.
He's getting that kind of talk now? Hall of Fame talk?
Well, remember, I'm friends with a lot of Bears fans on Twitter. So, and let me tell you, there was, I'm not sure if you know, Dominique Blanton, I'm shouting him out, and not in a good way, because he said he has Matt Forte down as the second best Bears running back of all time. I'm like, you have him ahead of Gale Sayers? Like, are you out of your mind? Like,
how old is this kid? 15?
Ahead of Gale Sayers.
How old is this guy? 15? I mean, come on.
Dominique's got to be, I don't know, he's got to be like 20, 21.
I'm not even sure if you put Matt Forte ahead of Neil Anderson, much less.
Yeah, let me tell you, Neil Anderson was my dude. And let's throw it back. I mean, because there's three Hall of Fame running backs on the Chicago Bears. Peyton Sayers, and if you want to go back to the 20s, we have Red Grange on there, too. We have three Hall of Fame running backs. You're going to say Matt Forte is number two, who won't make the Hall of Fame? Come on, get out of here. And you know my beef with Matt Forte. He can never break he couldn't break an arm tackle, couldn't get short down yardage, did never block for your quarterback. Most overrated running back full-time is Matt Forte.
Right. Well, go back to the Bears. Remember last free agency, their big pickup was Mike Glennon from Tampa, their quarterback, and he got paid a lot of money. Well, where it is, he's going to get cut today. A lot of money they paid him though to sign him. He was making $12.5 million a year. He played 4 games last year. Was horrible in those games. Why do you go up so fast on a guy you're paying that much money though? I don't understand that.
I mean, people looked at it. It wasn't really a front-loaded contract. It was a big signing bonus kind of contract. Cutting him goes against the cap a little bit, not as much as you would think.
Right.
The Bears kind of protected themselves because the general manager, Pace, knew he was going to go after Trubisky. No one else knew that he was going after Trubisky. Only he knew, you know.
Yeah.
So, and after last year, there's really no reason to keep an expensive backup quarterback. Especially when you saw what Glennon did. I mean, he looked terrible. You know, it wasn't even the thing of trying to push him out for Trubisky. Glennon looked terrible. His first throw was an interception. Like,
yeah, I remember
that. It was just terrible football for Mike Glennon. He's not ready to be a starting quarterback, which is what Tampa Bay told you. you know, with Timothy when he got Jameis Winston. Like, he wasn't ready to be a starting quarterback. He's not that material. He's a decent backup if you're that desperate. But this is Trubisky's team. The team, and that also the team is rallying behind Trubisky. So it's a matter of, like, they got to give the whole schedule of games to Trubisky and see how it works out.
Do you like Trubisky, though? I mean, I thought John Fox and company did not. I thought they kept a leash on him for no reason at all. There was no, you know, last year was no expectation to the Bears. And my thing is, why are you putting a leash on a guy that needs to learn a system, needs to learn to play? You know, I didn't see the advantage or the necessity to do that. And I thought John Fox held him back last year, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what it is? John Fox was in that weird spot. He was in that weird spot of the season was over, and the fans and management wanted to see what Trubisky has, you know, about what he could do. But John Fox is also trying to win games for pride reasons. So it was a weird spot for that whole organization, which is why I think the Bears should just fire John Fox mid-year if you really want to see Trubisky, quote-unquote, develop. You know, because what we saw from Trubisky was bad game management. That's pretty much what it was. You know, I mean, and you can't really totally fault that on him. Offensive line got beat up once again, and there was zero receivers to throw to on this team. You know, but you look at him, I mean, he looks like he fits the part of a quarterback. He has a good head. You want to see what he does now. The Bears finally went all offense on this with the coaching staff. I really love the hiring of the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. You know, so, I mean, what they need to do is put pieces around him. Even running back Jordan Howard said it's time to give Trubisky some weapons, which kind of takes a shot to every receiver still signed to the Bears. But it's the truth. You need to give Trubisky some weapons. And now he gets a full preseason and a full and full training camp into learning his system now. They're designing a system around him and him solely. So hopefully it all works out. I mean, from what you saw last year, yeah, it wasn't a great look. I mean, he was at the bottom of basically every quarterback ranking and statistically. But he was a rookie and a bad team and a bad situation, so you hope for the best this year.
How long do you think the Bears are relevant again, like to being at least a playoff contender? I mean, with the NFC North right now, the Vikings are good. Rodgers is back next year. Detroit's still pretty decent. I mean, Chicago, I mean, do you see a light in the tunnel?
It really depends on this coaching staff, and I know that's cliche, but it's like, if this offense could put up, let's say, 25 points a game steadily, I think that's good, because I think our defense is actually not terrible, you know? I think our secondary still needs work. I know they're talking about maybe re-signing Kyle Fuller, which I'm 100% against, because I think Kyle Fuller just played over his head, and not even that much over his head in a contract year. You don't want to get caught up in that, and I still say, secure the safeties, and it makes your corners better. And right now, I think we have a good safety in Eddie Jackson. You know, so I don't want the Bears spending money on that position. I think the Bears, scheme-wise, defensively, are not bad, though. You know, but once again, they cut Willie Young, who I really liked. He's a versatile defender. They cut Willie Young. But, you know, I think defensively, we're there. Offensively, it's a big question mark. We were really bad last year. It was basically hand off to Jordan Howard and hope for the best. You know, that was pretty much our offense. So it's going to be a lot more of that, I think, to start the year. But I think with the way this coaching staff is, it's going to be more of a West Coast offense, a lot of short passes. We need to get receivers who are going to do something after the catch. So, I mean, it's not as dark as it was the last 2 years where I've been with the Bears, where I'm like, if we win 5 games, we're lucky. You know, I think if we win 6 games, that's a good year this year.
Well, I mean, look, you have a new head coach now, I mean, which no one knows about, really. I mean, but it could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes when you set the bar low, you know, as you said, 6 wins could be a positive for you guys next year.
I mean, and rumor has it that the Colts wanted Nagy, and he chose the Bears over the Colts, which says a lot about that Colts depth chart, which I've been saying for the last, 3 to 4 years is awful, you know, so there's a lot.
Well, Andrew Luck, well, that's going to be a situation next year. That's going to be something to keep an eye on next year. I think. Well, let me ask about that, because I said this on a podcast last week on one of my whatever show I did last week, that the AFC South.
You're such a busy guy.
Well, I got 4 shows. I got 4 podcasts now, and and I said that, you know, in a span of 2 years, the AFC South has gone from the worst division of football to going to next year, possibly the most interesting and might be the most competitive altogether, because you have the Jaguars, who were just minutes from being in the Super Bowl this year. The Titans made the playoffs this past year and won a playoff game on top of that. You have the Colts, who gets Andrew Luck back. and the Texans, who have Deshaun Watson, who if we believe that last year wasn't a fluke, the Texans could be in the mix also too in the AFC. So the AFC South has gone from now the, in my opinion, the most uninteresting and worst division of football to now the most competitive, in my opinion, at least with the optics.
You know what's funny? I totally disagree with you, respectfully. Okay. Because the way I see it, the Titans got really lucky.
I agree with that.
I think Mariota took a huge step back, and I don't think he's really got his comp. I remember you, me, and Rosalind Ross were talking about Mariota because she's a Tennessee girl,
right?
And she wasn't happy about Mariota. I told her I think Mariota's overrated, and I think Mariota's still overrated. You know, I don't think there's anything good about Mariota or that team as a whole. Don't like it. Then you look at the Colts. Yeah, Andrew Luck is there. Andrew Luck, I don't even think wants to play on this team anymore. I mean, 100%. I just think the way they mishandled him, I think he wants out of Indy.
You don't think Frank Reich might instill a little bit of a positivity? I mean, Frank Reich did a decent job in Philly, you know, as handling that situation down there with the quarterbacks and whatnot.
You know what, though? Philly has a lot better talent around him than Andrew Luck has.
I agree with that.
Philly has a Nelson Aguilar. They have a Zach Ertz. They have an Alshon Jeffrey. The Colts have T.Y. Hilton, and that's it. I mean, really, the Colts have zero. And Frank Gore, who's 900 years old, and still gets 85 yards a game, which I don't understand.
Well, they're never signing him. Well, I saw reports that they're not going to resign him anyway, so.
Yeah, which it's going to be interesting, because I think somebody will sign him, because I think he still wants
to play. Somebody will sign him. It won't be the Colts.
Yeah. And to wrap up the AFC South, I think Deshaun Watson, healthy, the Texans should win that division easily. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, huge mistake giving Blake Bortles that contract. Because this is a year where you're not going to surprise anybody with this defense. You got a much harder schedule this time around, and you're going to need to score points this year. Blake Bortles is not the guy. I honestly thought they should have went after Kirk Cousins. I even think a Teddy Bridgewater would have been a step above a Blake Bortles.
Really?
Huge mistake by Jacksonville. This was Jacksonville's chance to really say, "All right, we're going to move on.
Okay.
Let's get a quarterback." And I'm not the biggest Teddy Bridgewater fan, but he's better than Blake Bortles, you know. And that's what you need, a quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over, a quarterback who's not going to hold your team back. Blake Bortles holds the team back. They're running the ball 30-35 times a game with Leonard Fournette, you know.
Right.
I mean, really. And if Leonard Fournette goes down, what happens to that offense? So I really think it's Houston's division to lose once again. I think the world becomes normal. The reset button's been pressed. All Bill O'Brien has to do is win 9 games to win that division.
No, okay. Look, I'm not saying you're wrong with the Bortles thing, but that's one of the things of contention I've had on this show with other personalities, other writers about Bortles, mm-hmm. and whether to just extend them, not extend them, what the Jaguars should do. Look, I this is my opinion. I'm not even a Bortles guy. I thought Bortles did enough last year to earn the right to come back next year to be their quarterback. That's why I left it at that. And then last week they gave him the extension, which is a team friendly deal from the looks of it.
It is.
You know,
but you're stuck with them.
No, right. But
I mean, I'm throwing out his name again. But let's say not that. Forget about Bridgewater. Unless they get Case Keenum on a you know what, you could compete for the starting job kind of deal. You know, and see who wins. You know, and I don't even know who's the better quarterback between them two. I really don't.
And that's a set now too, though, G. But if you're the Jaguars and you have Blake Bortles, who played better last year than he did the year before. What are your other options? You overpay for Kirk Cousins. You Case Keenum on a smaller deal.
I'm actually a huge Kirk Cousins guy.
I'm a fan. Yeah. I just don't know if he's worth the money that he's gonna invest in. Whereas Blake Bortles, you get a guy who's familiar. I mean, at the very least with Blake Bortles, he showed you he could win your playoff games. I mean, I think the equity there alone, what he did this year, is enough to invest into him. It wasn't like a Jimmy Geal type deal. You know what I mean? It wasn't like you paid this guy $30 million a year.
I just think it gives the wrong impression to the fans and even some of the team. Like, this is our guy. Deal with it. I mean, and the rest of the team's gonna, let me say, you're trying to tell me that the players on that defense were happy when Blake Bortles would go out there on the field? I mean, really, the players on the defense are playing their asses off. They're the number one defense in the league, and the game is close because their offense can't move the ball. And poor Leonard Fournette is really taking a toll. You know, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, where else do you go? But I think when your quarterback is Blake Bortles and you ask yourself, where else can you go? You could take a gamble. You could take a Case Keenum. You know what? Bring Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater and make them battle it out again somewhere else. You know, really. Like, and let Blake Bortles someone else's problem.
Right. Okay. Speaking of quarterbacks, Minnesota Vikings, you know, they had their own situation last year. Obviously, we mentioned Case Keenum, you know, had a phenomenal year, you know, stepping in for Stan Bradford and Bridgewater, of course, until he melted down in that playoff game with the Eagles. He's now going to test free agency. You also learned that Teddy Bridgewater is going to test free agency, and Stan Bradford's already a free agent, so it doesn't even matter. So, what was once a quarterback carousel now is now all three guys possibly not even return to the team next year altogether. If you're the Vikings, now first off to me, when I look at this, it tells me the Vikings are going to go after Kirk Cousins. That's what it tells me. But is that the right move going forward? You know, you're a Cousins guy, you said, so maybe you say yes here. Is that the right move, or do you try to invest in Case Keenum, the guy who did actually get to the NFC title game last year? Or do you keep investing in Bridgewater, who was actually on the up and up before the injury? What do you do here?
If I'm the Vikings, I think the Vikings are pretty much banking on Kirk Cousins, because they're going to tell Kirk Cousins, listen, you have a minimum of nine games you're going to be playing inside, because remember that the Minnesota has a dome, and their one away game at Detroit is in a dome. So you have a minimum of nine games indoors, which is great after playing in Washington.
Right.
You know, where you had to play Philly, you had to play New York, Dallas, you had that if they want to open it or not, because I don't know what the hell they do over there. I don't know what Dallas' stadium really is. It's a dome, right? It is a dome.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing. Anyway.
Let me tell you what's going
on. So you can offer that, and you offer probably the best offense he's been around in a couple of years. Remember, in Washington, his best target was Jordan Reed, who always got hurt. You know, and over here, remember, and people keep forgetting, Dalvin Cook is coming back next year.
That's right.
You know, he was going to be Rookie of the Year before he went down. You know, I think Kirk Cousins would be smart, because I know the Jets are going to probably offer him the world, but he's going. That would be a bad situation to go into. I think the Vikings are banking on, we have the best roster, we're Super Bowl ready, and we have a defense. You know, we have a winnable division. You know, and it's not easy, but it's a winnable division. You know, and I just think that let me tell you, though, if they don't get Kirk Cousins, then I don't know what they're going to have to be reaching for, one of their old guys, or probably trade up in the draft and hope for something. Because if they don't get Cousins, they're pretty much looking like John Elway and the Broncos did for the last 2-3 years. You know, which they're trying to fit a quarterback in there.
But I
think it also says a lot about the three quarterbacks they let go. You know, people are like, oh, I don't understand why they didn't want Bridgewater. Obviously, they've been around Bridgewater. There's something that they have Bridgewater in-house, and pretty much all they need is a game manager, and what they saw from Bridgewater didn't impress them to get them an extension, so, you know, whatever.
Well, I think the Bridgewater in his case, at least it's a risk he's taking here, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. I think he needs to build back his stock again before he actually hits the market, you know, the way he's doing now. That's my opinion. If I'm Kirk Cousins, though, and I said this on the pod on Monday, you know, what do you prioritize, money or winning? Because if you want to win, Minnesota's the best spot for you. Minnesota has a roster ready to go.
Or even Denver.
I was Denver all along until this happened. To be honest with you, Minnesota is a better spot than Denver is. The only difference between Denver and Minnesota is that Denver has an easier track than Super Bowl, minus New England, of course, if we assume the Pats are done or not done. You know, but I think Minnesota's the best option for Kirk Cousins in terms of, you know, you mentioned the play indoors. You mentioned, you know, the roster. Delvin Cook's comeback next year. All the optics has Minnesota as that team going forward. I agree with 100%. But, you know, I don't know what he prioritizes. Does he prioritize getting paid a chunk of money, or does he prioritize, you know, actually winning? Because if you prioritize winning, then honestly, I'll say Minnesota even more than Denver is the better spot to go to right now at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it would suck for me as a Bears fan, but yep.
but really, who cares about your feelings, right? I mean, really.
No, nobody does. Nobody cares about.
Exactly.
I realize as you get older, nobody cares about your feelings.
Yeah, especially even your wife. I'm kidding.
Exactly.
The Patriots. Okay. Well, you lose the Super Bowl about a month ago, and I wish we could have podcasted on this at the time, but. You know, it's one thing when you lost to the Giants those two times. You know, you always felt, they lost those games, whatever's close. And, you know, they'll be back next year or they'll be still in contention. Something feels different about this Pats loss. And obviously, you can look at the fact that Tom Brady is 40 years old, look at the ESPN article that came out shortly before the playoffs started, and some of the things that leaked out, and then, of course, the Malcolm Butler stuff during the, you know him not playing in the game, and some of the backlash that Belichick got after the game, especially from not just players, but also media and even fans. It feels like this dynasty really, honestly, is... I would say no more than 1 year left in this thing. This thing is coming to end faster than we think.
I don't know. I think it's more about the climate of today where it's championship or bust. I mean, because you could basically compare what the Patriots done in championship games to what LeBron James does in championship games. Always shows up, you know, and that's always a knock on him. Like, you know, he's not undefeated in championship games. Do people understand how hard it is to go, to make it as far as the Patriots do every year? Pretty much, and people always say, oh, you know, they're in the AFC East, and the AFC East suck. That's not the Patriots' problem. First of all, I think people want to see the end of the dynasty. I don't. I love dynasties. I think they make
sports you're a Tom Brady so fan. Much better. This is a Tom Brady fanboy. That's why.
Well, how can you not be? Like,
I mean, I am. I mean,
really. I mean, like, I've always said that. I'm like, I don't know how you can just stand back and be like, oh, I hate Tom Brady. It's like, I don't know. Like, you're just looking for reasons to be mad, you know? I mean, but for me, it's a more thing of, like, it's been together for so long that now it's all white noise and it's all just old now. And I don't mean old as in age. I just mean, like, that, like right now they're saying that there's tensions between Brady and Belichick. I mean, you know what it is? It's kind of like when you're a kid and you live with your dad too long. You know, like, you can love your dad, but after a while, it's like, all right, I get it, you know? I think that's the kind of relationship it is. I don't think they really hate each other. The media's trying to play it like they hate each other. I just think that, like, they've been with each other so long. Like, this is unheard of for a quarterback and coach to be this long, and it's going to trickle down because those are the leaders of the team. So it's going to trickle down. There's going to be sides picked, you know? And especially now with Robert Kraft kind of chiming in. I don't know. I just think it's more of that. I think the system still works. You know, I think they're still going to – I don't even know what's happening in the draft and free agency. They're still my favorite to go to the championship game again next year. You know, I mean, the system still works, and I just think it's more of that people are tired of it, and I think they're kind of tired of it too. It's kind of like if you lived in a house for too long. You just get restless. You know, you want to move.
Right.
You know, you want to live in a different neighborhood. You want to see something different. And that's why I think it is, because what we've never seen winning, especially in the NFL – Like sustain for this long so consistently. I think that's what it is.
No, right. And obviously there's a lot of, you know, when I say backlash and jealousy when it comes to the Patriots, but there is something to be said about, you know, a lot of the optics. I mean, Tom Brady, look, he's still top 2-3 quarterback in the league right now, even at age 40, but he is age 40. I mean, that is a fact. And Bill Belichick is not getting younger. At some point, he will want to end this. This will come to an end, the question, but we've always assumed that this can go a little 3, 4, 5 years. I got a bad, watching this game against the Eagles a month ago, like, I got a bad feeling about this, because it was one of those things where, this is the first time, even in the two Giants losses, that the Pats never had control of this game. Like, even when they had that 1-point lead in the fourth quarter, like, it never felt the Pats had any control of this game. Like, the Eagles scored whatever they wanted, and to me, it was just so much going on with this team. This team has been so good at keeping leaks, you know, keeping leaks shut, keeping, you know, if there's an issue in the locker room, no one knows about it, you know. All of a sudden, you've seen leaks left and right come out, and this is so un-Patriots-like. I mean, I just think, you know, look, you ask right now who the favorites next year, in my opinion, the Pats, obviously. At the very least, going to Super Bowl, mainly because the AFC sucks, okay? That we can agree on. But I can't say beyond next year that I can confidently call this team the favorites beyond next year.
Let me tell you, as a gambler, I'm saying I just never doubt the Patriots. As a career gambler, I'll just never count them out. As long as it's Brady and Belichick, I don't even care if they get along. I don't care if they get along or not anymore. And I just won't count them out. The one thing I will say is that this is a different Tom Brady. And it has nothing to do with his age. It's just like you never saw Tom Brady before as much as you do now. Right now he's got his own reality show. He's got all the – it's just a weird version of Tom Brady right now that we're seeing. And this is the – and maybe he's saying, you know, I'm 40, I want to cash out. You know, I want to get as many endorsements or as much exposure as I can for my life after football. But it's just different. And I think teammates probably see him a different way now.
That makes sense. The optics look really bad on this. I'll just say that. Okay. Couple things before I let you go. Both the Browns and Giants, in that order, have the number one, number two picks in the draft, have both now said this week that they are open to trade those picks. Now, I've been on record saying that none of these quarterbacks, really, in my opinion, are what I would confidently call franchise changers. They're definitely not Andrew Luck or, you know, anybody of that ilk, or John Elway, is that what I matter. if you're the Browns or the Giants, and the Browns have two to top five picks in the draft, one and number four. Browns first, because the Browns have a lot more options here because they have two picks. Do you trade that pick? Are you okay with Kaiser as quarterback going forward, at least for the next year or two? Or do you have to, if you're the Browns, do you have to pick a quarterback in this draft?
I think Kaiser's total trash. I think they should just cut him. I think Kaiser's trash. I said that from the draft. I mean, didn't impress me in Notre Dame. So, I mean, he just holds the ball forever. I don't even think he's coachable because he's a cocky kid who's not good. So I would just trash him. Trash Kaiser. The smartest thing I heard about the Browns came from Danny Cannell, which Smart and Danny Cannell never really go hand in hand. He's a goofball usually, you know. But he said the smartest thing. I think it was an ESPNU. He said what the Browns should do, number one pick, take Barkley, and then number four, take whatever quarterback that you want at that part. Because if you're going to take a quarterback, the drop-off is not extreme. If you like any of these quarterbacks, they're all the same guy, you know? And I agree with them. I don't see a difference between Darnold or Rosen. I mean, Rosen's the attitude guy who has all the talent. Darnold is the guy who has the ceiling, but you never see it. You know, and that kid Josh Allen from Wyoming is just a bust, in my opinion, written all over him. Lamar Jackson, I think, is the best one, but he'll go later in the draft. You know, but I think the Browns should take Barkley number one because you get that. He's the most dynamic offensive player in this draft. Get him if you're the Browns because you have zero offense. Just makes sense. Get him. And then if you're the number four pick, then take Rosen or take Darnold if you feel that's the guy. You know, I mean, if I'm the Browns, enough with the trading picks. Just take these guys already.
And the Browns are in a very good situation. Not only do they have two top five picks in the draft, they got a lot of cap room too. So if they can't turn this around and be competitive in the next 2 years, then that's a you problem at this point now. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, and I don't understand how Hugh Jackson kept his job with one win in 2 years. I understand they're a bad team, but come on, that's insanity that they kept them. You know what? I don't care. I'll say it. I think the only reason why he kept the job is because he's a blackhead coach.
I think he has, like, he might also have naked pictures of Jimmy Haslam or someone. I don't know.
Honestly, it's one or the other. It's either he has something on the ownership or the Browns didn't want to be the team to fire a blackhead coach that pretty much everybody kind of loves Hugh Jackson for whatever reason because he's a quarterback girl, you know, or whatever it is because he does good. Hugh Jackson has convinced me that he's just a guy who's a great coordinator. Keep him in the – there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a good coordinator and not a good head coach. You're going to make yourself a great living.
Absolutely.
You know, I really think the reason why he wasn't fired is because he's a black head coach. You know, in a time where, like, where people say black head coaches should have more jobs or whatever, the Browns like, you know what? We get enough backlash for being the worst franchise in the world. Let's just keep him because we're going to be bad anyway next year. You know, I think that's the way the Browns looked at it. You know,
that's actually a valid point there.
I mean, I don't – because it's not like if they hire some new coach, they're going to win 6-7 games next year. It's impossible. They lost 16 games last year. They're terrible.
Bet your ass. Well, I'll tell you what. Bet your ass if they lose less than four games next year, he's gone.
Oh, yeah. This is it. Like, the leash has been made. You see as far as you could go with this right now. He's got – after 3 years of just this crap – he's gone. But like I said, with the Browns with the draft, stop trading, stop trying to be cute. Just take Barkley number one overall, and then take one of your quarterbacks. You know, or if that offensive lineman from Notre Dame whose name slips my mind is there number four, take him because I don't like these quarterbacks. Take Lamar Jackson in the second round. I mean, that's the way I would do it.
I got a point there. What about the Giants? Number two pick in the draft. Dave Gettleman, new GM, really believes Eli Manning has a couple good years left in him. I tend to agree with him in a sense that. You know, obviously, durability has never been an issue with Eli Manning at all. None of these quarterbacks, in my opinion, and certainly probably his, are guys I would consider, you know, franchise changers. And I don't know. I trade that pick and maybe get some value back and then fill holes. I don't know. What do you say?
Putting my New York Giants hatred bias to the side.
Yeah, do that, please.
I think the Giants are actually in a bad spot right now. This is rare for this franchise, at least in recent history. I think they're in a real bad spot right now. I think their defense is kind of shot, except for Landon Collins, I think, you know. I think their defense is kind of shot. Their offensive line is a total mess, and in this league, you can't win with an offensive line. The Giants proved that last year by spending money on wide receivers. No, spending money, so to speak. I mean, they just got Brandon Marshall, but the thing they were promoting all in the offseason, we have these three great wide receivers. Eli had no time to throw, you know. And when it goes to Eli Manning, I think his prime is way eclipsed him. If you look at Eli Manning in the last 5-6 years, he's just a turnover machine. If he's not throwing interceptions, he's fumbling the ball. And that's just that's not me because I don't like the Giants. That's just the truth. Like, he's just turning over the ball. I mean, you could say that it's because it's a bad system or whatever. He's just not looking good. You know, I mean, I think the new GM is just saying that because he needs to win over the Giants fans. And he saw how upset the Giants fans got when a stupid streak got ended of consecutive games for Eli Manning. You know, Giants fans just lost it all, you know. So I think he's doing this. So if he's saying the right things as a Giants fan, and of course he's going to say whatever about the draft pick because he doesn't want to give out what he wants to do and he wants to hear what other teams want to offer, you know. But, I mean, and he also probably doesn't think there's a future franchise quarterback in this draft, and that's fine. You know, I mean, there's a couple of GMs out there who have gone and said that they don't see a quarterback in this draft. You know, that's totally fine to say that. Just take the best player available.
Right.
You know,
right.
And as I tweeted earlier today, if they take Saquon Barkley as a Penn State fan, that would break my heart because I love Saquon Barkley and I do not want to root against him for the next 10 years.
Well, guess what? It does happen just for your sake, so you can feel uncomfortable. That's my opinion. Just kidding. No, not really. I'm kidding. Not really. Last question. Let's go. Well, actually, two more questions. Let's go. Odell Beckham, word got out that, I don't know if his agent leaked this out or whatever, but he's looking for $20 million per season as a receiver, top highest paid receiver of all time, probably. Odell is very talented, obviously, you know. Arguably a top three receiver in the league, but he's came off an injury this year. I mean, this on the options alone, do you pay? Is he worth that kind of money?
I mean, him and Antonio Brown are probably the two best big play guys in the league, right? I would say that 100%.
Right.
Him and
Hold
Antonio
down.
Brown.
Hold
you give him a ball at any moment, they could just bust it out for 60, 70 yards and a score, you know, just something. You know, they make a ridiculous catch. Him and Antonio Brown are only two guys that can do it. Antonio Brown's getting, what, 17 a year?
Roughly.
Right?
Roughly, like that.
Yeah, something like that. Someone had that ballpark. And so Odell, of course, wants to play the game, which everybody does when you're up for a contract and you're that guy. You can say, I want to be the highest paid at this position. Once again, this is why the Giants are in a bad spot right now. Because I don't care what the team is. I've said this a million times. I don't overpay anybody if I'm a GM. I just don't. If you have faith in your coaching staff and in your general manager skills, you don't overpay anybody, you know. But the New York Giants are a bad football team, you know, with no offensive line, and they have a star, like a legit top five noticeable star in the league. So he's pretty much holding them for ransom, and it's going to be – I think the Giants are going to give him close to it. I think the Giants might give him if Antonio's making 17, they'll give him 17.4, you know, just to make him happy because he's a brat, you know, just say he's the highest fan of the league. I think they'll do that, and I think they're going to regret it when it comes time to really build this team. You can't tie your money to a receiver when the rest of your team is not good. I can understand if you're a step away and you need a receiver. Fine, boom, then give the guy the contract. You know, if your secondary, your defensive line, offensive line, quarterback, running, you have a running back stable, and you have a stud top five wide receiver, fine, sign him. In the Giants situation, I think they're going to have to sign him because, like I said, they don't have any stars on this team. They really don't. I mean, Landon Collins, I think, is their best player, but no one cares about his safety. Nobody ever cares about his safety, you know. But they're going to have to do it, and it's going to hurt them in the long run because Odell, remember, he came into the league with injury as an injury-riddled player. Now he has this injury. He's not a big guy, and he has a target on his back. You got to consider all these things. Safeties and corners, even middle linebackers, if they can take a shot on Odell, they're going to take a shot on him. You've seen it. Every week,
oh, yeah.
People are taking their best shots at him.
Happened in the preseason, remember?
Yeah, it's not – I'm telling you, it's a dangerous situation to give a guy that – to give him a wide receiver who has a target on his back like that, $20 million a year, I just wouldn't. I'd be scared to death right now if I'm the New York Giants. These are tough decisions, the draft, the quarterback, and Odell Beckham. Tough situations to be when your team really isn't there. It's
You know, typically with your New York Giants takes, because it's, you know, it's full of biasness and hatred and vile and venom. Like, typically I would never agree with you on these things, but I actually do agree with you here. I actually do agree with you here. They are in a very different spot.
Yeah, you know what it is? Because the Bears have been bad for, like, and I've seen it, you know? And that's the reason why I'm hesitant as a Bears fan to give Kyle Fuller money. I don't trust Kyle Fuller for the next 4 or 5 years to get him a huge contract. Like, really, you trust Kyle Fuller? I've seen him miss more tackles in the last 4 years than anyone else on the Bears. Like, this is the guy you want to give money to? So, like, and when you're a bad team, you really, the good teams build their teams through the draft, you know? You get your starters out of the fifth round. You get your starters out of the fourth round. Plug them in. Like, the good team in Seattle did that, you know? The New England Patriots do it every year. You know, the New England Patriots find undrafted free agent rookies.
Yeah, because they scout well. That's why.
Exactly, and that's what it is. It goes from the management down. You have to build your teams up, you know? I mean, I don't get it. And the Giants used to be really good at this. You know, they used to be really good to go into the draft and find guys that just worked in their defense and their offense. It hasn't happened for them the last few years. You know, and it's just bad teams continue being bad by making bad decisions, i.e. the Jets and the Browns.
Okay. Last question to go. And one of the things I wish I had spoken to you about, you know, in the last couple months where you had a chance to talk, really, was Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, traded from the Patriots to the Niners. He goes 5-0 with the Niners to end the year. They finish hot. He gets paid now. He currently is the highest paid quarterback of all time in NFL history. I said last year, I know you always make fun of me when I do this all the time, but I do really feel that going to next year, Jimmy Garoppolo will be looked at as the top 10 quarterback in the league. And I think he is. I think it's accurate. Is that premature to say based on a small sample, though?
Jimmy Garoppolo confused the whole thing. I wrote an article about it, and I wish I could remember one word from my article so I could sound intelligent, but I don't remember anything. But I really don't. But I wrote about him getting the contract. Once again, you know me with money. It's not even my money, and I don't want to pay anybody. Exactly. But Garoppolo has a full sample space. And what was it? It was 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions?
No,
it was something like that.
Something better than that.
I think it was 7 touchdowns. Whatever it was, it wasn't nothing that blew me away. That I'm like, oh, we gotta make this guy the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, you know. And it's still a team that's going through the motions. I understand that he didn't play against the best competition, you know. I mean, he played against a Rams team that was pretty much packing it in at the end of the year, you know. And like, I don't know. I just don't get it. I think a lot of people are gonna make, or I think Vegas is gonna make money, I should say, on that over-under wins for the 49ers, because people have been clamoring for the 49ers to win. Whatever the number is, people are gonna go over, and I'd say right now, prematurely, on the Beating Vegas podcast, go under on that total, because Vegas knows the public wants the 49ers to be better than they are. This is still a team a long ways out. You know, like, I know Garoppolo looked good at the end of the year, but now there's tape on him. And now Garoppolo has to go through the whole thing from preseason to now. You know, he was pretty much chilling the whole preseason, the whole season, until he got traded. He was pretty much chilling. He was the freshest arms quarterback when he started playing games for the 49ers, you know? So, I don't know. I think paying him that money was ridiculous, because why'd you have to do that? I don't know. If I was the 49ers, I would have franchised him for a year. I mean, I really would have franchised him for a year to see what you get for the whole year from him, and then go from there. You know, I don't know. It's a tough thing. And once again, you overpay these guys, man. Yeah, and that's why I said in the article, you overpay these quarterbacks, and it straps you, i.e. Joe Flacco or Matt Stafford. You know, you pay these guys these big money, and if they're not giving you results, you know, what's the point? This guy hasn't given you any kind of result. You know what? He went 5-1 or whatever the record was, a 4-1 while he was out there. Big whoop. I mean, you still had a losing record and seemed terrible still.
The good thing about the Niners, though, they have a lot of cap room. They got a lot of cap room. And, you know, having a guy like Jimmy G, and this, even though it's a small sample, he's going to attract a lot of pretty decent free agents over to San Francisco this year, this offseason. And I think that will help the Niners' chances to be competitive next year and going forward.
I mean, and once again, you look at that division. I mean, the Rams are going to have a tougher schedule. Seattle has a lot to do next year.
Seattle's on a crossroad right now, and Arizona's rebuilding again. So if there's a time to hit the iron, it's now.
Arizona's an annoying team, though, aren't they? Like, when you count them out, they'll go and beat the Rams or something. They're just historically an annoying team, the Cardinals. Like,
Bruce Arians, too. We also, you and I especially, held Bruce Arians a very high. Like, we thought him as a top 5-3 coach in the league for the last couple of years.
Yeah, then last year just totally blew up in our faces.
I mean, look at his quarterbacks. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I mean, Arizona had a window. They did. Arizona had a window, and they just didn't take advantage of it. You know, they really did. I mean, obviously, the what's his name? The running back, when he got hurt, that was pretty much like 55% of their offense. So when he went down, that hurt them.
Yeah. I mean, when AP is your backup, but is your response. I mean, that's AP's, you know, let's face it, he's at the end of the rope. So,
but like two good games, and that was it.
The first game out the gate, and then we thought, oh, my guy's back, and then he stopped.
then he realized that he was washed up again.
Yeah, he's done. All right,
was somebody else that no one wanted to listen to me on. I said he was washed, and nobody wanted to listen to me. But
it's you, that's why.
I don't know why people ignore me.
Your name is G. That's why.
I don't get it. Like, I kind of know what I'm talking about. And people just, but you know what's great? When I'm wrong about something, oh, God, forget it. That's the one thing they remember is when I'm wrong, you know? I'm equally wrong as I am right, but whatever. Like, give me credit.
Well, you did on the bet, though. I think you're decent this year in what you're betting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in college, man. That's my.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I need advice about college betting, I'm going GW Gross.
Yeah, you know it, bro.
Follow on Twitter, of course, at GWSTWLIO at NGSCSports.com. Are you going to be, what are you doing? Just writing articles once a week for now? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm writing once a week right now because I'm actually writing a lot on my own. I'm trying to write two television pilots, and I'm writing on another novel I started working on. So,
you're phasing out. It feels to me you're phasing out the podcast thing now. There's more folks on writing.
Yeah. The podcast thing is just time consuming. I just can't. I gotta write. That's what it is. I gotta write. And I mean, when football season comes around, I'll probably bring around Beating Vegas, you know. But up until then, you know, it's pretty much just me and the pen and pad, so to speak.
So you're gonna have to be on pods again. You have to be guests, pretty much, like today.
Pretty much, the only people who have me on are you and Kyle. So that's what's up. because as we said, I turn everybody off. So whatever.
Ah, boy. Nah, you're good in my book, brother. You're good in my book.
All right, man. So that works for me.
GW Gross, thank you so much as always.
I'll talk to you soon.
Once again, thank you, GW Gross, my good old friend. Old co-host again from the old radio show for coming to the podcast and discussing NFL free agency with me. Of course, we're going to try to keep this podcast going at least weekly for the time being, unless breaking news happens or anything of the sort. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at EJChris7. Check out Earnestly Speaking Media. Of course, all the podcasts. Check out the Earnestly Speaking Unfiltered podcast, which is almost daily. The Earnestly Speaking Sessions podcast. Of course, the Conversations About Basketball podcast, which is also weekly. Is at Earnestly Speaking Media at EarnestlySpeaking.net. It's on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Support the show. Leave comments. 5 stars, 3 stars. I don't give a damn. Just leave some comments or some feedback. Until then, until next time, enjoy your weekend.